In the two decades since the leading cause of death for all Americans aged 25 to 44 was AIDS, a generation of children has grown up to become adults, adults with questions. Questions about moments when they were kids barely understanding what was going on between mom and dad, their whispered conversations, emotional phone calls overheard through bedroom walls, moments, now memories, like this one.
I go to my room, my mom goes to her room and just shuts the door and spends the next like 5 hours on the phone. I don't even know what she's doing, but I keep knocking on the door and she's like, I'm on the phone. And I can tell she's crying. And I don't know why I thought, leapt to like the worst possible conclusion. But when finally she was off the phone and I went into her room and she's surrounded by all these Kleenex and I'm like, is dad dying? And she said, yes.
That's the voice of Whitney Joyner, whose secretly gay father died of AIDS in the early 90s. The consequences for Whitney's mother and for Whitney herself, now in her 30s, have defined their lives. The difficulties of moving on, freeing themselves from secrets and shame, still alive in today's very different world from the AIDS crisis days of the 1990s. Joyner told her story to Anna Sale, host and managing editor of Death, Sex, and Money. Anna, welcome.
Thanks, John.
So this is a story that is very personal. It's about a family, but it's also about the echo of a crisis, really, from a generation ago.
Exactly. It's a generational story because it's about this population that's largely been invisible. Not only were people who were dying in the first wave of the AIDS crisis sort of invisible in that moment, but so were their children. And their children are just now trying to piece together what happened to their parents. And that's Whitney Joyner's story.
He seemed very healthy for a long, long time. Like, I never knew anything was wrong with him. The only thing I knew was wrong with him is that we would go to the hospital in Lexington and see this doctor, and he would get his blood drawn.
And you and your brother would hang out in the waiting room?
Yeah, we would just be in the waiting room because it was kind of like, oh, we're going to the mall and the movies and just stopping off at the doctor. And he explained that he had a blood problem. And at one point I said, oh, like leukemia. And he was like, yeah, something like that.
So there you've got the child as the little detective taking an innocent situation but seeing the clues. Mostly, though, this story is told in a kind of flashback, her looking back as an adult.
Exactly. Piecing together what she remembers as a child,
right,
with what she later learned as an adult. For example, she's just learned from her mom fairly recently that her father lived with HIV for 5 years before he died in 1992. And it was a very difficult thing to know what to do when he found out he was HIV positive in 1987. This is how he told his wife.
I mean, this is like an example of why my dad was kind of, he was a wonderful parent, but not a good husband in any way, and not a good person in some ways. But he told her not to get tested, because if she got tested and was positive, he wouldn't be able to live with himself, he told her. So
did your mom not get tested?
So she didn't get tested.
For him?
Yeah, she didn't get tested. I mean, she told me this just a couple of years ago. So finally she was like, I've got to get tested. And if I'm positive, then we're going to do this together. And if I'm negative, I'm getting a divorce.
So they make this deal, and she has to live this deal as a kid.
She has to live this deal. She knows her parents get divorced. She doesn't know why. But she does learn before her father dies that he is HIV positive.
She confronts him.
And yes, she learns that he's dying of AIDS. But she doesn't learn the whole story. And that haunts her. Here's what that conversation was.
And he said, so I've been sick. And I was like, yes. And he, I don't remember all the details, but he basically just said, I'm HIV positive. You know, he's emotional, his tears welling up. And I said, you know, I asked mom once if you were gay. Because I just thought, well, of course. Of course you're gay. And he said, I'm not gay. And I was oh, okay. But I was also like, but you're lying. Like,
when he told you he was HIV positive, did he say, and I have AIDS and I'm going to die, I'm not well?
No. He said, I really want to make it to see you graduate from high school. But he died 5 months later.
And what's so gripping about that detail is the whole time her dad is telling her that he's HIV positive, she already knows he's going to die.
She already knows he's going to die. She's learned that from her mother. But no one in the family learns that he's gay until after his funeral. They learn from mutual friends that he would go out and go to nightclubs, and that's likely how he contracted it, but they don't know for sure. So there's still this sort of mystery at the heart of what that part of her father's life was.
You know, there are secrets, but this is about half secrets, partial secrets. And you can hear her talking about how even for her mother, there was real reluctance to accept the full truth here.
And it's only now, over the past couple of years, that she'll be like telling me little by little, because I think she doesn't want to remember. You know, it's so painful.
At the height of the AIDS crisis.
Right. So that's when she was worried about if anybody finds out about this. I mean, she only recently has been like, Whitney, I was so terrified that if anybody found out that I would lose my job, your dad would lose his job, you guys would be kicked out of school. People would attack us somehow, that our house could be, we wouldn't be able to sell our house.
She discovers, first of all, her family is blown up. All right. She discovers that she's in the middle of this crisis that's in the news everywhere she looks. Does she carry resentment, scars? I mean, how does this fit in her heart today?
How she remembers it is a feeling of loneliness and fear, that real fear that someone would find out that her father was dying of AIDS. This was at a time when there was some public hysteria around it.
Sure.
And then also, you know, she was afraid of that in the community and from her friends and at school. But even within her family, when her father's dying of AIDS, there was a lot of resentment and bad feeling about how had he gotten AIDS. Remember, he was married to her mother. And that complicated things for Whitney.
You know, my family was very angry at him for lying about his sexuality. To me, it felt like our family was almost glad that he was gone. Anytime I brought him up, there's this kind of eye rolling on the part of my family. So I felt like I just shouldn't talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel ashamed of loving him, you know, even though it's my father. And why would anybody have to feel ashamed of loving your father?
Does she still carry that today?
Well, it's interesting. Now she's finding other people whose parents died of AIDS. She's telling this story as part of a new project called The Recollectors. They're recollecting these details to not just kind of honor and remember their parents who died in sort of under the shadow of public shame, but also to sort of step forward and say, we exist. This happened to our family, and it wasn't a story that was told at the time. Now we're grown-ups, and we're trying to figure out how to piece together this story for ourselves. So she's put together this project called TheRecollectors.com that has all sorts of stories from the vantage point of the children of parents lost to AIDS.
Even though so much has changed about AIDS and around gay culture in the United States, there are still some steps that have to be taken by this generation.
Yeah, there's still secrets to sort of figure out how comfortable we are to uncover them. For Whitney, this is the story of her family. And as she's put together this project, she's gotten support from cousins. She's talking much more with her mother about her father. So it has uncovered for her what was sort of veiled over and a mystery for a number of years.
She's not ashamed to have loved her dad at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Anna Sale, host and managing editor of Death, Sex, and Money. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can hear Whitney Joyner's full story by visiting deathsexmoney.org. And if you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the program, check us out at takeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.